It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Redacted. Redacted. Redacted.
Taus, the three in the lead, you betcha! Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it! The corner, PJ Tucker! Gordon, like Golden Bridge!
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
Redacted. Redacted. Redacted.
Let's get it.
It's been a hectic day for Houston Rockets fans everywhere, but hey, a silver lining in all of this this last 36 to 48 hours of craziness, Will Weaver has been hired as what will more than likely be the last assistant coach on Stephen Silas's staff, and we will talk about that very shortly. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can check me out on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, and as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, quick plug here. If you haven't already checked it out, the NBA draft is just a few days away, November 18th, next week. So check out Locked On NBA and listen to it every single day leading into the draft, as we have expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check out the feed, catch up on the past shows, and don't miss anything. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, joining me as we continue to kind of navigate these interesting waters that the Rockets find themselves in regarding Russell Westbrook and the situation that is afoot currently is notorious hoops head Coach Chris Geeked. You can check him out on Instagram at @CoachChris_sports. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Very excited to be here. Like you said, a lot going on with the Rockets right now, so I'm excited.
All right. So basically, one thing I got to clear the air first, Chris, before we dive into any discussion about Russ and kind of what has led to this development and his, potentially not even. I mean, we've got some conflicting reports out there from The Athletic and ESPN, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. But I do want to preface by saying, look, I had my fair share of fun. Today is Thursday evening as we record this. I had my fair share of fun on social media. I dunked on Russ a little bit today, but I got to throw it out there. I have championed and defended Russ for an entire season and then some, for over a year. I have plugged away for this guy in a Houston Rockets jersey. And what rubs me the wrong way, and again, we've got to still, try and figure out where the truth actually lies, but this is a situation that is so much better than any other situation that Russ will be able to find himself in by requesting a trade. And so for him to come out and basically tell Houston officials that he is displeased with the offensive scheme, with, with the culture and the identity of the Rockets organization, all of this, look, I didn't really appreciate it. Now, am I completely in the, I hate Russ camp now? Absolutely not. This last year has been a really phenomenal year cheering for Russ, watching the highs and unfortunately at times the lows of Russell Westbrook in a Rockets jersey. But I think the thing that we need to focus on right now before we dive any further is, does Russ actually want out? Is he actually requesting a trade? Because we've got conflicting reports from ESPN, from Tim McMahon, and from Brian Windhorst, who are saying that Russ has not verbally demanded a trade. And then we've got the Athletic article from Kelly Eco, Shams Charania, where it says that Russ has informed Houston officials that he does want out of Houston. So, Chris, what are your immediate thoughts on this? Where do you think which report are you more inclined to believe at this point? Yeah.
So first I want to say, just from following Russ for a long time, these kind of reports are not characteristic of him. So that was my first reaction is, Russell Westbrook wants out. We've really never heard that. I mean, there were so many times where he could have demanded these kind of things from OKC or demanded, certain players on the team, roster moves, and just we never heard anything about it. So to see this comes out to me and from Shams' credible source, I believe that, with all the smoke going around with the Rockets organization, I think for me personally, with the Daryl Morey, when he actually took the Sixers job, that was a, you know, a big, big red flag just from the information I've been looking at. But, you know, I believed it initially. But, you know, you look at more information, I kind of think back on the season, and as much as people talk about, you know, the Harden-Russ dynamic maybe not being the perfect match, you know, on the court, I mean, for all the reasons that we knew when the trade happened, there seemed to be some positives with them personality-wise, you know. Russ brought up accountability as one of the things that, you know, that he was looking to change in Houston if they were to come back next year, run it back. But I know you saw it. Like, there were so many times where it seemed like Russ and Harden were keeping each other accountable, you know, more so than any other teammate has with Russ. I mean, and probably the same for Harden. I mean, I don't remember the CP3 moments as vividly as probably you do, but, you know, Russ and James had some back and forth that seemed productive to, you know, getting the best out of both of them. So I was excited to see those moments when they happened, but then you hear that he wants out. So it makes me think, okay, there's no way Russ would be wanting out without either James leaving himself or there being some friction in that relationship, which I don't, as rocky as it was on the basketball floor at times, or not an ideal fit, perfect fit, I don't remember seeing them like to the point where you would say that, you know, Stephen A. Smith saying today on ESPN that neither Harden nor Russ want to play with each other. Like, that just seems really strong to me. And it just, there's so much about this reporting going on right now with the team that to me it's just really hard to piece together. Again, as much smoke as there is, I can clearly see that there's, you know, some turmoil in the Rockets organization, but now there's a new coach, a new GM, you know, a lot of things to be positive about in terms of some of the things that Russ brought up, you know, the offensive style, accountability, those kind of things. But now he wants out. And like you were saying, you know, this is a fantastic situation for Russ. I mean, I really loved watching Russ this year in Houston. I know, like, there was that, I mean, the month of November was probably some of the worst basketball Russ had played, I mean, since he became an All-Star. Like, it was pretty bad. It was pretty rough there for a second. But once the, you know, it's flipped, I mean, it turned on. So there was a lot of fun basketball. The spacing and just playing with Harden allows him to play with a, you know, primary ball handler, so he doesn't have to be that guy, which I think is a great thing for him, especially at this point in his career. And so, again, we hear the reports of him saying, I want to go back to that kind of floor general role. And I love Russ. But to be on a contender and for him to be the floor general, I mean, he needs a very, very, like, specific situation, you know, and it's just not – it's not going to happen if he's traded anywhere.
You know, it's funny. Again, it's funny you bring up, you know, him needing a specific situation, because Nekias Duncan from basketballnews.com in our most recent podcast, initially reacting to that trade, said something along those lines. And that's something that I kind of want to follow up on if we have time, maybe a little bit further down the line in this pod, maybe kind of explain what would be the perfect situation for Russ, because let's face facts here. He has played now alongside Kevin Durant, who is top three player in the NBA when healthy. He's played as the top dog by himself. He's played alongside Paul George, and now he's played alongside James Harden. And those are a bunch of different roles. You know, with KD, he was the secondary guy. Then he was the top dog, his own guy. Then with Paul George, he had another guy that he could defer to a little bit more. And Paul George isn't necessarily a guy that needs to have the ball in his hands like James Harden. So you would think that that relationship between PG and Russ would have flourished because Russ could keep the ball in his hands and create for Paul George off the bounce. And then you move it over to James Harden. Harden is a guy who needs the ball in his hands and, frankly, is better with the ball in his hands than Russ is. So it doesn't necessarily make sense to take the ball out of James Harden's hands, give Russ more time with the basketball, and basically force Harden to operate off ball. Now, I will say maybe in some hypothetical sense, this duo would have had a little bit more success had Harden been willing to operate a bit more off ball. But at the end of the day, the advanced numbers say,
that's exactly, you know, where I was going to go.
Yeah, the numbers back it up. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you're going right to where I was going to go. I mean, that's why it's so puzzling, because now they do have Silas and a whole new coaching staff, where you would think, you know, a new staff's coming in. What do? I mean, just think about any company you've worked for. When the new team comes in, they're looking at the old regime and seeing what happened, looking at the results. What do I need to change here? And anybody coming into the Rocket situation is going to look at, you know, the predictability of the offense, you know, just how can we get some more offensive movement here? How can we get some more ball movement, player movement, you know, put all the things that Silas has said, you know, make things a lot easier for them. Even Will Reaver, from what I understand, is more of a tempo type coach, likes to get out and push the pace, which the Rockets did, you know, with Russ this year. I mean, that was good stuff. But no, I think that's why I'm excited for Salas, just to bring a new style of play that I think would benefit Russ both Russ and Harden, because that predictability has obviously been an issue, not just this past issue, but it's reared its head in other postseason series as well.
It's been an issue. The predictability of the offense has been an issue ever since D'Antoni came to Houston, but it became more so an issue. And this is where I find I have some problems because it compounded itself, because the offense did have a few more layers to it when they did have the vertical floor spacing of Clint Capella. But then you bring in Russ, who kind of messes up the spacing of the offense. They realize that. And so to get the most out of Russ, they trade Clint Capella. They bring in a wing in Robert Covington, which I do still think is, you know, even if you look at it, you know, hindsight 2020, right. I do still think it's a solid trade. Because, you know, good wings in the NBA are harder to find than a rim running big. But that kind of broke down the offense even further, to where it became even more predictable, where everything was isolation heavy, or just Harden or Russ having to beat their man off the dribble, or, you know, in Russ's case, sometimes operating out of the post a little bit. But it became so predictable with very little variety, very little variations, no way to counter anything, because they had a great first punch with Harden and with the isolation game. But then as soon as the Lakers decided to start doubling in the playoffs, it was game over, because they could not capitalize out of that. Yeah. Now, granted, I will say Russ was injured, right? And that's something that, you know, for the Russ fans listening, Russ was injured, and I will give him that, absolutely. But I do still think that, you know, even injured, it doesn't make up for some of the decision-making that we saw throughout the playoffs, you know, some of the decision-making that we saw throughout the regular season. And this isn't to just sit here and dunk on Russ, because there is a very real possibility that a trade is not made, and that Russ will have to run it back with the Rockets this next season. That's actually where I want to start our conversation in segment two, and we'll get there in just a quick moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Have you ever had a protein bar that you actually like enjoyed eating? Like, you had one and you were like, actually, I want a second one because this is actually really, really good. If you said no, then I have a protein bar that you have to check out, Built Bar, right? You can check them out at builtbar.com, but they've got all these amazing flavors. And the best thing is, you know, of all these delicious flavors, the double chocolate mousse, which is my personal favorite, you know, they've got salted caramel, German chocolate, carrot cake, cookies and cream, even, you know, 16 amazing flavors. You know, of all these flavors, the best part about these protein bars is that they are covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're not gritty or chalky like other protein bars on the market. They're awesome protein bars, right? I've never had a protein bar, and I've tried my fair share that have ever been this good. You know, they're great for the health conscious person. Maybe you're just, you know, trying to stay at the same weight that you're at, or trying to lose weight, whatever it may be. You know, these bars are low cal, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great. And you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll actually get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Chatting right now with Coach Chris Geekt, and we are kind of going over everything going on with this Rockets organization right now. And I think that we were, you know, kind of headed down an interesting path talking about, you know, Russell Westbrook and, you know, essentially, you know, will he stay on this Rockets team right now? Because all signs are pointing towards him being traded. But I think it's so important to realize that the Rockets aren't just going to give him up for some poo-poo platter from some team just because he wants out. He has no leverage in the situation. He has 2 years left on his contract and then a player option. So there's a very real scenario where, you know, he sits down with Harden, with the new coaching staff, with upper management, and they have these conversations about, because his issues, his grievances were with the accountability of the franchise, the direction of the franchise, and his role in the offense. But guess what? all of those issues were with a general manager who is no longer here, unfortunately, RIP Daryl Morey, with a coach in Mike D'Antoni who's no longer here. And frankly, this is a new regime. This is a new era in Rockets basketball under Stephen Silas with this new top-tier assistant coaching staff under Rafael Stone and how he's going to remake the team in the image that he sees fit as the new general manager. And so for Russ to have these issues, he doesn't know what this team is going to look like or what the culture is going to be this next season. And him being one of the two best players on the team alongside James Harden and himself, they set the tone. They set the culture. They set the identity for this team. And I'm optimistic that if Russ is not traded, that he can elevate his game and get back to some version of that January to February stretch where he was on an absolute tear and looked like he may have been headed, you know, if he had played that way for an entire season, he absolutely would have been in the MVP conversation because he was playing out of his mind. And I still think that that version of Russ paired alongside a version of Harden who isn't having his January brick fest, you know, slump that he was in is absolutely a duo capable of winning a championship. This isn't me saying, oh, yeah, Russ is garbage, he's washed, get him out of here. This is me saying I'm frustrated that Russ is asking out because I still think the ceiling of this duo is extremely high. It just so, and I think that Stephen Silas might be the guy that fully unlocks the potential of this duo. What do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's all, you know, very possible. You know, the personnel the Rockets have really unlocked Russ in a lot of ways. I have to give credit to Mike D'Antoni and some of that as well. As much as we, you know, didn't like some of the things he's done in terms of his rotation throughout the season, you know, willing to make adjustments in the playoffs, goodness. But he did really find the right way to use Russ, and it wasn't just, you know, the small ball. I mean, Russ was playing some good ball even before, you know, Capella was traded. But as far as Silas, you know, his philosophy in terms of, you know, keeping the pace up. He's a great offensive coach. We know that. That's not going to be the Rockets' issue. But I think with the guards that he's worked with in the past, you just hear him interviewed. He seems to be just slobbering at the mouth, just ready to get these two guys and what he can bring together with them and with the coaching staff. You know, Jeff Hornacek. They still got John Lucas. Again, I told you, Will Weaver, I looked into him as well. They've got a great staff to fix the issues that Russ is concerned about. That's why I mentioned earlier. The timing of this is kind of weird, you know. You listen to Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins talking about, you know, they don't want to play together. It's already over, you know. But and because they wanted Tyronn Lue, not just, you know, I can't imagine just the coach being that big of a, you know, obviously you may want a coach, but is Tyronn Lue why Russ and Harden want out? That's hard for me to believe. I'd like to believe that there's some kind of transaction that they're trying to get pushed through. I haven't heard anything like that. To me, that makes more sense in terms of this. But anyway,
what do you mean by transaction that they're trying to push through?
Yeah, like if there's a certain player or a certain style of player that may cost Fertitta to go into that pocket or something like that. I know that the Rockets don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of what they can do. And, you know, sometimes that can probably be frustrating on like a player like Russ and Harden. You know, like it's hard for them to understand, like, hey, you guys both make, you know, $50 million and, you know, there's a cap here and Fertitta. And that, you know, that might be something we need to get into. It's kind of the conflicting Fertitta saying over these years that he's willing to spend, he's going to do everything he can, but then the options and the transactions don't really add up to what he's saying. Again, really getting a little off track.
I think you were making a fine point where I think we'd boil it down to what is the reasoning behind it, because I do think it becomes a little crazy to think about, you know, why Russ is asking out. But I think the answer is almost really simple when you look at it, is that Russ, because we touched on this a little bit in the first segment, is Harden is a guy who thrives with the ball in his hands. So is Russ. Mm-hmm. And neither guy is willing to change the way that they play. Or at least Russ was uncomfortable being forced into that role of operating off ball. And so far, James Harden does not appear willing to change either. And for what it's worth, I think that the two guys, I mean, we saw earlier today, James Harden, you know, jumps on Instagram and wishes Russ a happy birthday. You know, like there's not all this drama swirling around the franchise.
Exactly.
And I think it's, ooh, pardon me. I think it's very possible that these two guys, you know, are still going to be best friends. They're still going to be best buds. They're still going to be, you know, very, very close, you know, off the court. But I think it's very possible that they just realize that the fit is just not there on the court. Right. And I think that a lot of James Harden's desire to want to play with Russ, to go out and get him and tell upper management to tell Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta, Russ is available, go get him. I think a lot of that was initially, you know, he didn't care about the fit. He, A, wanted to play with his friend, and B, Russ is still an extremely talented basketball player, and above all else, at all times throughout the NBA, talent usually trumps fit. You know, you could point to back at, I'm going to use the Miami Heat Big Three as my initial example. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are not very complementary players, right? They don't necessarily mesh well together, but it worked because the talent trumped the fit in Miami. And you could go back even further. You can find all sorts of different, different examples of players who decide they're going to work together, and the talent just outweighed any concerns about their styles of play, right?
No, I mean, no question. I think, think about people's initial reaction when Chris Paul got to Houston. One ball, you know, the way that Harden was playing and the way that CP3 was perceived to have playing. And again, even with Russ, like, as much like we can both admit, the basketball fit is not perfect. But they did have, some success. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, when Russ was playing his best, Harden was kind of going through a funk there. We never, got to see it just fully realize, but you could see there were moments where
we did a little bit in February, because that's when Harden started to return to form a little bit. And so they had that 9-2 February, and that was, an exciting stretch, because you really got some glimpses into what it would look like when both Russ and Harden were playing at their peak in this new system.
Right. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun to see. I can vividly remember a Boston game, I think in Houston, where Harden was pretty great. So, again, I do think it's from Russ's perspective, when he mentions his fit in the offense, I'm just, from someone that sees where Russ is at in his career, I'll be honest with you. The best thing for him is, in my opinion, is not the 28, 30 points a game Russell Westbrook. Now, obviously, he can still do that, obviously. But I think I'd rather see something closer to the triple-double Russ, where he's averaging, 22 to 24 a game and getting close to those triple-double numbers. I still think that even with this Rockets team, how they shape the roster, that could end up being the best style of or version of Russell Westbrook that they could get. I think that because of the way that D'Antoni and the way that they played last year, it was just Harden isolation, Russ isolation. And Russ is a guy, when he's in isolation, he feels he has the mismatch. A lot of times he does. He's going to be aggressive, and he's going to attack. And that's where, now we're getting back to kind of topic with Silas, that's one of the things I think I'm most excited about. And again, without seeing Silas
Russ doesn't get traded.
If Russ is not traded, that's one of the things. if he can get back to that kind of Russ again, he can score 30 any given night. He's Russell Westbrook. But I think for – in today's game, if he's going to be, like he said, if he wants to be the captain of the team or the lead point guard, it can't be the point guard that's averaging 28, 30 a game. He's got to, and he was doing this when Paul George got to OKC. He was kind of transitioning back into what he was with KD more so, which is, that triple-double rest, that 1A or 1B kind of player to the leading scorer. And so I would like to see if he stays in Houston. I really do think that that's the rest that they would need. As great as he was, as great as that stretch was, and if he can physically, get back to that level of play, that's what you want. But,
and Russ, I do think he can play different styles of basketball. It's partially an indictment again on, and I think a lot of the blame can be shouldered, on MDA, is the style of offense that the Rockets, had geared themselves towards over the past two seasons, the last one with Chris Paul and then During James Harden's unguardable tour, and then this past season with Russell Westbrook, was James Harden thrived so much as the quote unquote engine of the offense, where everything ran through him, that they also didn't. It was unfortunate because they didn't have a game plan for when Harden hits the bench, and so the offensive game plan was largely the exact same. And unfortunately, Chris Paul was not physically fit his last year in Houston, and he could not sustain that level of, switching out, hunting ISOs, and then attacking bigs. He couldn't produce the same way that Harden could. And then with Russ, we did see windows where Russ was able to produce, at the same level that Harden was able to get that output that was needed out of that secondary engine to really run the offense. But we didn't see it nearly as efficiently as what Harden does, because unfortunately, Russ just isn't an efficient player. And so, there's bad decisions made here and there. There's, bad shots taken here and there. Doesn't get to the free throw line nearly as much as James Harden, which is a travesty, I will say, for a man who led the NBA in drives per game. Does not get to the free throw line. And again, see, I want Russ fans to know that I see all this. Yeah. I see it. I hear it. I feel it. I've experienced it for a year. I get it. But where I'm kind of at is it just the fit doesn't make sense. And that kind of leads me into what I want to start talking about next segment is, trades for Russ and, what exactly does Russ's market value look like to the NBA at large? And we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you haven't already subscribed, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Be sure to subscribe. That way you get the show immediately. You get the little blip notification as soon as it's out. That way you don't have to wait for me to start yelling about it on social media. Now, before we dive into kind of surveying the NBA landscape and, some of the potential destinations that make sense, potential suitors for Russ, I want to give Chris a chance here to kind of follow up on a couple finishing thoughts about Russ and this past season that he spent with the Rockets. So go for it, Chris.
Yeah, and this kind of goes into his trade value. Regardless of reports of some people saying he doesn't have a lot of trade value, he does. Some teams are interested. I do think it's important to state just what Russ, again, was doing before the Capella trade. I looked it up. I have a 14-game sample here before Capella was traded, before the Capella trade, where Russ went 31-7-8 on 56% shooting, 80% from the free throw line. This is before the Capella trade. So I mentioned that to say, as much as people have that taste of what happened, in the postseason where it didn't look good, Russ is a player that has terrorized coaches in opposing teams for years in the NBA. Like, teams know that, coaches know that. And again, even just this past season, when you think of what he was doing those months, I mean, he was completely unstoppable, and the Clippers couldn't deal with him. The Lakers couldn't deal with him. The Celtics couldn't deal with him. So there's going to be suitors for a talent like him. And, what we see, they always talk about these untradeable contracts. We heard that with Chris Paul. You hear that with so many players that end up getting traded, right? So, I just wanted to put that out there about him. Like, I think you mentioned some of the turnovers and efficiency and stuff, which is a part of Russ's game, just with the aggressiveness that he plays with, his mentality, like I was talking to you earlier, how he always feels he has the advantage on a defender, which is usually correct. But his aggressiveness, it can sometimes get the most of him. And, it's so easy to point out Westbrook's mistakes, which I think is the one reason why he's such a polarizing player, is that, your mom can be watching the game and be like, that guy's out of control. Like, it's not hard to see when Russell Westbrook's out there not playing good basketball as compared to some of the other guys, like a Harden, for instance, that's just a much smoother player. It just comes off a little more natural, like he's not forcing it. And I think that's, one of the things that kind of puts people off about Russ, but there's no question about what he can bring to a team. And even still now, I mean, an upper end player in the game, to me, still the top 15 players, as long as he's healthy, 15, 20 player in the game. So I did want to say that just to put the air and then let Rockets fans know, whether he's traded or not, if he's on your team, you have a great player. And if you're trading him, you know, teams are going to be looking for him. There's no way there's not trade value for Russell Westbrook.
And you know, first off, shout out to, you know, good friend, good listener of the pod, Jamarco, who, you know, threw it up on Twitter the other day that, you know, Russ travels at a speed of like 21.4 miles an hour across the NBA court. And so sometimes he just, you know, outpaces the basketball, which is ridiculous. You know, it's you know, four, maybe five dribbles to make it the length of the court. And so it does look like he's sometimes a bit out of control, but it's because he's literally running too fast for the basketball and the ball can't keep up, which I thought was, you know, a little funny there, but, you know, very, it matches the eye test. Absolutely. I do want to, you know, and before we jump into, you know, kind of trying to figure out what makes sense, you know, what does a Russell Westbrook trade look like that is fair for both parties? I do want to throw it out there because everybody's firing up the trade machine. Everybody's, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what they can get back for Russell Westbrook. And even at the start of the offseason, you know, when I was doing Trade Target Tuesdays here at Locked On Rockets, I have impressed upon everybody, look, when you facilitate a trade for two organizations, right, the Rockets and whoever else, you have to try and put yourself in the shoes of the receiving team, right, and say, does it make sense from that angle? And I posted a couple trades earlier today, one with the Bulls, one with the Hornets, and, you know, a couple of people were like, this doesn't make sense from the Bulls' perspective, or why would the Bulls do this? And I do think that when you talk about Russ and a talent like Russ, for some teams out there, like we'll say, again, the Bulls, the Hornets, maybe the Kings if you're in the Western Conference, teams that have notoriously struck out year after year with big name free agents who aren't, you know, a primetime free agent destination, who can't bring in that level of raw basketball talent, you know, without trading for it in a situation like this, those teams are absolutely going to be willing to give up things, you know, assets of value to be able to get Russell Westbrook on their team, even if it's for the next 2 years, because those teams then suddenly have a chance at, you know, one, becoming just relevant again, you know, actually, like, especially if you're in the Eastern Conference, you know, a team like the Bulls or the Hornets, you know, actually Magic. Pushing for the Orlando Magic, that's a great one, you know, who have been kind of the middling, like, seventh, eighth seed the last few seasons. You know, they actually get a legitimate chance to make a little bit of noise and potentially upset a team in the first round of the playoffs. And that's something that you absolutely have to put yourself in the shoes of those teams and think, okay, what assets are we willing to give up to get Russell Westbrook? Just because the Lakers wouldn't be willing to trade something of value for Russ doesn't mean that, again, you know, the Bulls or the Hornets or the Kings wouldn't trade something of value for Russ. They're very different franchises, and they're at different points in their respective timelines for those franchises. So,
sure.
And I mentioned earlier, you know, the situation for Russ. You know, what is it? What is an ideal situation for Russ? Unfortunately, he's not going to find himself, if he is traded, I don't believe he's going to be traded to another situation where he's contending, which is not ideal. That sucks. We're basically looking at the two teams that have expressed interest, at least to this point, that's been reported, are the Bulls and the Hornets. So if you're sitting there, how are you feeling about sending Russ to one of those teams, Chris?
So, yeah, two things I want to say before I fully dive in is, first, if you look at some of the stars around the league that have made that transition from west to east recently, it worked out pretty well. You know, Kawhi went from San Antonio to Toronto, and that worked out really well for him. And Jimmy Butler, you know, I guess he was in the east with the Sixers, but, you know, he went from Minnesota to the Sixers to Miami, and things have kind of worked out well for him. Better than they were in Minnesota, that's for sure. So we know that even though the East is much better, it's still nowhere near as deep talent-wise. So bringing Russell Westbrook to a team in the East automatically takes you to a certain level. You know, you brought up the Magic. If he can somehow get on the Magic roster, obviously without them having to gut the roster, it's looking like maybe someone like Aaron Gordon would have to be involved in something like that. But if he were, you know, the Magic would have to be excited and think, yeah, they can push past that first-round sweep that's inevitably been, you know, what they've been for the last couple of years, as you were saying. The next part is that as many times as you see these guys get traded, I can only think of one time where, you know, and obviously Russ is not, you know, the same player he once was. He's not a lock top 10 player kind of situation. But usually when those kind of guys request trades, they don't end up going to bad situations. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, he's a star. You don't want to have piss off a star and have that kind of on your reputation. There's so many reasons why NBA teams wouldn't like to do that. The only exception I can think of, unless you can help me out, is Blake Griffin when he signed that extension with the Clippers, and it seemed like he had no idea that going to the Pistons was even, you know, in the cards. Other than that, most stars end up getting to a good situation, like not Russ going to the Hornets kind of thing, you know. So with that said, Russ is in a different situation. Like you said, he has no leverage. He's making so much money that the teams that are contending, they just don't have – they're not going to trade the players that they would need to bring him in, you know. And then, again, like we talked about even earlier, just like finding the exact kind of fit. Would it even be the right fit to give up that those kind of pieces? So I agree with you. You know, there's some pipe dream scenarios with some of the LA teams, but if those don't happen, I don't see any kind of scenario where, you know, Russ is on a contending team or even just a even kind of sniffing a contending team, unless it's in the East where he just ends up in a situation where, you know, that team is able to trade some finance money, maybe it's someone that they don't really want on the books that could also help the Rockets and, you know, right now. But then also have enough there for Russ to still be able to take that team, at least, you know, as a Russ fan, like, come on, like, got to get out the first round. Like, let's get out of the first round in the East, at least, and, so we can see. We got out of the first round without Harden and without KD.
And see, and that's the thing is, you know, this past season was the first time in 4 years that Russ makes it out of the first round, finally, you know, does it alongside James Harden. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of Russ stands who point to the fact that the Rockets were up 2-0, should have been up 3-0, and, you know, then went down 2-2. And I have to turn around and point out the fact that OKC was the best clutch team in the NBA this season for a reason. Chris Paul, you know, turned it to another gear when games were close. And that's exactly what OKC did all season, was muck things up, keep games close. And they stole some games from teams that they had no business beating, including the Rockets in the playoffs, because unfortunately the Rockets were playing without their second best player. And, you know, there's Russ stands that are trying to use that as a referendum on Harden's ability to produce. Well, guess what? I'm sorry. If Russ wasn't injured and Russ's $40-something million contract was allocated to two or three other role players, I bet that the Rockets would have swept the Thunder 4-1. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just, I'm just going because, but you're missing, you know, you're missing your second best player and that $40 million salary, and you're expecting that team to go out and still take care of business. You know, it would have been nice for them to get Russ that added rest time and, you know, be able to be a little bit more prepared going to the LA series. But I'm kind of going down a tangent here. I do want to readdress something and, you know, mentioned in the Athletic article, and this kind of comes back to the whole accountability culture, you know, element of things. You know, we had reports from Austin Rivers, you know, and his frustrations with the organization and his inconsistent playing time and role on the team. Daniel House, Eric Gordon, it brought up the old complaints from Trevor Ariza and how the Rockets really catered to the stars on the team, as you know, and kind of relegated the role players, you know, as the, you know, the maybe the others on the team, basically. And I do think there's something to be said for an organization, you know, top to bottom, from Daryl Morey to Mike D'Antoni to James Harden, who were, again, I've made the case that at times Daryl and by extension Mike D'Antoni were enablers of James Harden and allowed him to play a certain way and didn't challenge him enough to, you know, be the best version of himself that he possibly could. Meanwhile, you've got guys like Chris Paul and now like Russ who do try to hold James Harden accountable. And I don't think that James Harden is the overarching issue with the Rockets organization. I don't think that's the case, because the Rockets would be nothing without James Harden. But I do think there's something to be said for there's one common denominator in all of these complaints, all of these grievances, and that is James Harden. So, you know, is James Harden willing to be challenged by this new regime, by Stephen Silas, and can Harden and Russ potentially work past whatever differences they may have from a professional standpoint to be able to play together again if they have to, if a Russ trade does not come to fruition?
Yeah, so I want to stay on the Harden thing just for a little moment there. You know, when Harden was having that struggling period in January where it just seemed like he was physically didn't look right, mentally didn't seem like he was into it, one of the things that crossed my mind and I was thinking about, because Russ was playing great at the time and playing in ways stylistically that were a little unfamiliar even for a Russ fan like myself in terms of just how he was consistently, you know, relentlessly attacking and not taking as many jump shots, just staying committed to that. I bring it up to say is that what I was thinking is, okay, a change of scenery, like a new voice, right? That can always be great for anybody. And like you said, the enabling that was probably done with James Harden as he continued to show how great of an isolation player he was, it seemed like that became more and more of the percentage of what Houston was doing offensively. And that does, like that takes guys like Eric Gordon and Rivers and even the guys like PJ Tucker who don't do a bunch offensively anyway. It's still over time, it's got to be, you know, frustrating at times. So I say that, like, yeah, I think you are right. It's not taking away anything from James Harden. I think that it's natural. I think you can get comfortable and you're having success. You think about GMs, even Sam Presti, Daryl Morey. I can look at both of those guys and say, hey, they had great success. And maybe because of that, they have blind spots in some of those areas, right? And so with Harden, you see he's the best ISO player in the game. We can make that argument, one of the best players of all time, one of the best scorers. And he's comfortable. That's where you hope maybe this new coaching style, new regime can maybe get some and just, see things a little differently, just to deploy his skills a lot better, because I'm sure you've seen the highlights. This is not how James Harden's always played. He's always been a great player, but he's not always played this specific to where you know exactly where he's going to attack from. You know exactly what move he's about to do. It's just a matter of can you stop it. And if you trap it, he's going to be completely taken out. He's going to remove himself from the play. You know, that's not how it's always been for him. It got to this point now. And so you don't want it for a Rockets fan, right? And you don't want it to require a change of scenery. You would hope that maybe just a new coach, like you said, bringing in someone like Russ to keep him accountable, like CP3 maybe. But now you have all these situations, these guys are coming and going. So what do you do? I do agree with you. It's something that needs to change. He needs to be held more accountable. He's a great player. It's not taking away from his game. But, you know, he could definitely be doing things differently to give the team a better chance, make his teammates feel, you know, more involved. Or like you even said from the reports, you know, even guys that, you know, probably love James, they're like, man, like, you got to, you know, do something a little different this time.
I think it's possible for guys to love James Harden, the guy, but playing right alongside James Harden, the player, can probably be a little frustrating. And I think that's a take that gets thrown around national media a lot. And it's something that I genuinely, you know, I've played basketball my entire life. And if I went out to a pickup game and a guy was playing like James Harden, I'd think he was a dick. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's no other way to put it. But again, he's James Harden. He's the greatest isolation player in NBA history. So he gets to play that way. But hopefully, under Steven Silas and this new amazing coaching staff that has been assembled, you dropped their names earlier, but one more time, we've got John Lucas, Rick Higgins, Jeff Hornacek, and now Will Weaver, the most recently hired assistant coach who was the head coach of the Sydney Kings, led them to the number one defense in the NBL this past season. And that also kind of strengthened the ties and the potential interest in the Rockets, you know, and what they had for Jayshon Tate. Another guy who I think I'm really high on, spent an entire segment in a previous pod talking about him. Definitely go check that out if you haven't yet. His highlight reel is something else, and I do think that he could be a really phenomenal fit on the wing for this Rockets team. But I think we've kind of hashed out a lot. We've had some good discussion here, Chris, so I think that's going to be kind of where we wrap things up. But I want to give you a chance. Go ahead and let our listeners know where they can check out your content at.
Absolutely. I make a lot of Rockets content. I did it all last year. It's kind of how I met Jackson. It was a great season. You can find me at Coach Chris Sports on Instagram. From there, you can find all my other content. I have a YouTube channel, Coach Chris Sports, as well. We talk about Rockets, other NBA topics as well. So please go follow me, and I look forward to it. Hopefully, you know, I would like to see Russ, my last words, like, I would like to see them kind of get past this and run it back with some few roster tweaks. They're not saying that they're, you know, the best team in the game, but they're not far off at all, you know, with those tweaks. So I would like to see that happen. If you want to hear me talk about that stuff, definitely go follow me on Instagram at Coach Chris Sports. And if Russ is traded, you're going to want to see my reaction. So check me out.
Right. Same here. Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today. It was really awesome. I feel like we had some really good hoops discussion.
No, it was a great time, Jackson. I really appreciate you. And I want to say, hey, I didn't even tell you this before, but I've been listening to you since you started, man. You know, so this is really dope that we could link up like this. I remember when the transition kind of happened between you and Ben, and I was just new to the Rockets at the time, and you came with that dope intro, and it was all good, man. So we're excited to do this.
Hey, well, again, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you spending the time here with us today. Really great insight into Russ, and kind of, again, you know, I think that, you know, I came off a little hard on Russ in the initial reaction pod. And again, I spent the better part of today dunking on him, but look, deservedly so, you know, sometimes you just got to take some shots. I take shots at Harden too, take shots at plenty of Rockets. It's fun sometimes, but, I think for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you all so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.